Now, if you'd like to open your Bibles with me, I'd like to read with you from the book that Paul wrote to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. This is on the Pew Bible. I think this is the most common printing that we have in the pews. It's on page 1220. It's Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to begin at verse 23. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord. We are all somebody's kid. I am and will always be Trudy's boy because Trudy, of course, is my mother. And I love her. Even though the years of me living under my mom's roof have gone, and even though one of my grandchildren is in the nursery here at Bethel today, even though I am no longer a kid by any definition, I am still Trudy's kid. And I love that. Now, today, when we baptized Felicity and Hendrick, these are little kids, of course. Felicity will always be John and Sarah's little girl, no matter how big she grows or where she goes. Right, John? Absolutely. And Hendrick, he's always going to be Julie's little guy, even if, you know, he's got these Dutch genes. You know, he might end up like this tall, but he'll still be your little guy. Right, Julie? That's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah, no matter how powerful, no matter how rich, no matter whatever, they will have this relationship with their moms. Now, the relationship that we have, of course, is different over time. The way that I interacted with my mom when I was five is different than the way I interact with her now that I'm not five anymore. There was a time when I was dependent. There was a time when you were totally dependent. And there was a time when you grew, where you learned some skills, you got some capacities to think and to respond, to make decisions. Later, you became able to accept responsibility for yourself and to leave the home and say, I am now a person in my own right who has to take responsibility. That day will come. Hard to believe. It's going to come for Hendrik. It's going to come for Felicity. It comes for everybody. But the lessons that they learn is what they carry with them. And the things that they are taught continue to shape them. I am the man that I am because of the things that my mother taught me. And every one of us should be able to say, and I think we all would, that we have been formed, not only given life and biology because of our mothers, but we've also been given direction and values and perspectives because of our moms. We are and ever will be the children of our mothers. The Bible lesson that we read this morning applies that fact into a whole different realm. It takes it in a deeper way. It says things about our relationship with God and calls Him our parent, calls Him our Father. Now, the Bible is actually really astounding in this. I think that we get so used to reading the Bible or hearing about these Christian concepts that we forget or don't realize anymore how absolutely revolutionary and mind-blowing that they are. At the time when the biblical religion and faith and teaching was given to people, almost everyone in the world believed that the divine, and whatever people would call that person or sometimes that thing, was often a malevolent being, where that God is out to get me. That God is to have fun at my expense. That God likes to see me suffer, and I need to do everything I can to stay on the good side of the God or to avoid the negative attention of the God so that I can live and not suffer too much. So people try to appease God or avoid God. And then we read about this God. This God says, you are not worthless toys to me. You are not here just for my capricious delight. You are here because I have made you to be my children. I am your father. Sometimes parents, being imperfect people, do dumb things or wrong things. Sometimes parents even do evil things. And we know that there are those of us who have suffered abuse by the hands of our parents. And we know that what a horror that is, because it is so much not the way it's supposed to be. What we learn here is God is saying, I will be your father. I will be your parent the way that a parent is supposed to be. That I will love you. I will protect you. I will guide you. I will point you in the right direction. I will help you to achieve the things that a good parent wants for her children. And so we learn about God. And we learn about us. We learn that we are all children of that one Father. Some of us come from this ethnicity, and some of us come from that one. Some of us have this history or that. Some have roots in that part of the world or the other one. Some have a heritage in which our language was this, and others a language that was that. Say, we are diverse. Here in this place, we are diverse, but we are together the children of one Father. Father. That we have this in common, that God who created heaven and earth is our Father. And that we are brothers and sisters together by the grace of God. We have a unity that transcends race and language and color and history and gender and status, all these things. Because we are the children of God, the Scripture says we are heirs, that we have an inheritance. The inheritance is the renewed kingdom of God that will be manifested in all of its beauty. And that will be for us. And so we are free from fear. There's lots of things that people are afraid of. We don't have to be afraid. Scripture tells us that we don't need to fear being abandoned. We'll never be alone. We'll never be left aside. Because God is the Father who is permanently watching over us. We don't need to be afraid of poverty. Because the God who created heavens and earth, who rules over everything, is our Father. And He says, your inheritance will be the whole creation. And until Christ comes and reveals the full kingdom of God to us, then we have each other as the family of God to support one another. Right? And God bless our deacons who help us as a community to be there for each other, to meet the needs that come. And that is the godly, the gospel ministry that the deacons come, at least a big part of their ministry. And finally, we are freed from the fear of inconsequence. I've started to wonder if this isn't really the biggest fear that people have. Is my life going to mean anything? Is my existence on this earth going to matter? Is anyone going to notice? Sometimes the question is asked of churches, think about this, if Bethel Church was to disappear from this community, would anybody notice in Waterdown or Burlington? That's a good question to ask. That's a question I sometimes want to ask of myself. If I was not on this earth, would there be a difference in people's lives? Would there be a difference in the kingdom of God? And that's a question I challenge you to ask of yourself. How are you making a difference in this world? The fact is that when you are a child of God, He will use us and He will use you in the unique way that you have been created to make a difference in this world, because you are an heir of the kingdom of God. You are a person who is made in God's image. You are a person who is loved and gifted and sent. When Hendrik and Felicity were baptized this morning, there was a whole bunch of things there that I wanted to say. But you can't say everything. One of the things that I wanted to say to Hendrik and to Felicity, his kids, there is a future waiting for you. A future in which God stands with you. A future in which you are going to be a person of consequence because you are a child of God. Now to all of you, children of God, to all of you, heirs of the promise, to all of you whom God loves, let's be those people of consequence for good and for the glory of God. This is a good day to remind ourselves of that. It's a good day to live that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would truly watch over us as we live the life of your people. Thank you for being the God you are. Thank you for loving us and loving us as your own. Father, what a joy to call you Father. Continue to reveal yourself. Continue to wrap your arms around us. And continue to equip us to hug you back. For you are Abba, Father. Amen.